Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Black on Black on Black. You're here every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. with D-Fantastic. And normally at this time, Queen would say, and Queen, or whatever the fuck she says. but if you can believe it or not, D-Fantastic is going solo dolo today. So there we have it. For those who are just now tuning in, I just would like to give a big shout out to Music Without Borders, who just closed out for us, which is awesome. And they're going to be continuing on with a new host. So, you know, tune in for that. It's going to be dope as fuck. And so if you've never listened to Black on Black on Black, we are a show about a Bay Area native and a transfer from the city south. We explore the real San Francisco, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene. You can listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen. Normally, I would pass this next segment off to Queen about events that are happening in the community. I got to be honest with you folks. There's been a lot going on. The past two weekends was a lot of shit. My daughter's first birthday, which was awesome. And a wedding in Paso Robles this past weekend. Never been there before. It was actually an amazing little town. So shout out to Paso Robles, as the natives call it. like the people that live there call it Paso Robles. I'm not entirely convinced it's how it should be pronounced, but I digress. I don't live there. I just try to drink all the wine. As far as events and stuff going on in the community, one thing I did want to highlight, because it is Indigenous Peoples Day, there was this really cool union statement from the Alcatraz Union of Indigenous Rights. So I kind of wanted to read that out. It was posted a couple of days ago, and I just think it's just a really powerful statement. So workers and Indigenous people stand together on Indigenous Peoples Day. The Alcatraz Union supports the International Indian Treaty Council. So the gist of it is that for decades, the International Indian Treaty Council has organized the annual sunrise gatherings on Alcatraz Island to recognize the historic 1969 Alcatraz occupation, which I will talk about later in the show, to honor Indigenous Peoples Day and support the resistance and survival of the Indigenous peoples of this land. And so this union has been extremely integral to the rights, and both workers' rights and the rights of the Indigenous people, both in the Bay Area and beyond. So I think another powerful statement in this is that our fights are bound together, and we will continue to stand in solidarity. Indigenous rights are workers' rights. And I think that's something that we all have to keep in mind. I think so many of us, friends, family, co-workers, community members, we all share something similar, is that we all want to be able to live healthy and happy lives. And we cannot do that if we aren't doing it together as people. I think that there's just an overarching feeling of needing to keep power when power is not necessarily just an infinite source that just can be drained and drained and drained without consequences on both the earth and the people that live here. So just keeping that in mind, when you're fighting for anyone's rights, you're fighting for everyone's rights. Every person who is a part of underserved communities, like, the stronger we are, that we work together, the better opportunities that we have to overcome the power structures that unfortunately can keep so many of us down. So this show is going to that, like, trans people are under attack.
Yo, you'd be surprised, ma'am. You would be surprised.
Are you living under a rock at that point?
Yo, people,
like,
people
like underneath the ground.
People see RuPaul's Drag Race and like, we here.
We are good.
They actively don't want to know.
Very true.
We'll get into that. Yeah. We'll get into that. Yeah. And
suckers allowed to break bread or asunder. The daylight, lightning, and the thunder. Sun, moon, and stars, and the hunger. Abundance in bundles. Blessings in troubles. Towers and tunnels. Views and valleys. Waves and peaks. Streets you from, son. Planet Earth. And ain't scared of no Mars attack. What type of bars is that? Stay off my chat. I'm up there corny riot garments. Top five. Dying on and on them. Superfly, slicker top. Bro, eagle diving on them. You, why you lying, homie? You won't play with my emotions, Smokey. Big Chief heart rate, big beat, B-E-Y-I-C, straight jacket, come clean, big said it was a dream, now it's a living thing, with you and living kings, I mean it, I mean.
On planet Earth, the currency is murder. You a man of worth. They say the day is coming, drumming that you can't reverse. Watch the banner burn before the cannon burst. Don't taste an illusion, the nation hallucin. Hallelujah, taste of the future. The people, the shower, the piss of the coward, the face in the future. Lonely martyrs, magic carpets, dirty blankets, Coca-Cola, soul controller, holy waters. Middle East mode, sand glorious. Cheat code in Babylonian, the Orient. My superhero got the people power. Yassin and Yassin, you should heed the hour.
With you and living kings, I mean it, I mean. Solid with it. True and living.
Halusa Nation, the human beings, the people, see the spiritual in the natural, through sense and feeling. Everything is related. All the things of earth and in the sky have spirit. everything is sacred. Confronted by the alien nation, the subjects and the citizens see the material religions through trauma and numb. Nothing is related. All the things of the earth and in the sky have energy to be exploited. Even themselves, mining their spirits into souls sold. Into nothing is sacred, not even their self. The Alai Nation, Alia Nation.
Hey, 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 you're here with Black on Black on Black. And this is D-Fantastic for a very, very special episode for Indigenous Peoples Day. So for those who are just tuning in, you were listening to the Haluchi Nation. That was a song called Alai Nation. Very powerful song. And actually featured one of an artist that we're going to get into next, Lido Pimienta. But an amazing song by an amazing hip-hop duo from Canada. There's actually a lot. When I was like curating this conversation for today, there's a lot of really amazing Indigenous Canadian musicians. Obviously, there's so many elsewhere as well. But I was like, God, I mean, they were just the hip-hop Indigenous Canadian scene is dope, like straight up, but I digress. So I just kind of want to give you a little bit of an overview about the Indigenous people in the Bay Area. And while we do that, I want to play our next artist, Lido Pimienta. So Lido is actually, Lido identifies as queer, and she is of mixed Afro-Colombian and Wayuu descent. The Wayuu are an indigenous ethnic group people who live in the Guajira Peninsula in Colombia and Venezuela. So that's where she is from. And we'll just put some of her jams on as we talk about the Ohlone people from the Bay Area. So in the Bay Area, it is of critical importance to always recognize the Bay Area's indigenous populations, past and present. So, despite the atrocities of colonialization and genocide, Native communities still persist today and are active in efforts to preserve and revive the culture, which is absolutely outstanding to me. Just the fact that, like, so much violence and harm and just, like, boots on the neck to culture has happened to indigenous people, and yet they continue to persist, and yet they continue to rise. I mean, I think, like, and I say this as a Black woman, I consistently look at what the indigenous community has done, and I feel empowered to continue with my personal struggles up today, to continue to uplift women, Black women, BIPOC in general, the people of the LGBTQIA plus community, and so forth and so on. Because, like, damn, if they can do it, we can do it. Like, it's amazing. And so, according to the U.S. Census, the indigenous population in the Bay Area is 18,500 strong, and is actually projected to grow over the next few decades. So the Ohlone are the predominant indigenous group of the Bay Area, and this includes the Chichinyo and the Karkin of the East Bay, and the Ramatush in San Francisco, the Yakuts in the South Bay and Central Valley, and the Mokema tribe throughout the region. So one thing to remember, what you'll see sometimes when you're out in like nature, or you're in parks, you'll see plaques that say, like, we recognize this is Ohlone land. But Ohlone was actually a group of like 50 tribes or so. But we've, as America does, tends to condense things down and say, you know, slap just a big name on it. So just as a reminder, Ohlone is actually a huge and diverse group of tribes that have just are brought under this one name. And so other indigenous groups in the Bay Area include the Graton Rancheria community, which is Coast Miwok and Southern Pomo, Kashaya, Patwin, and Mishawe Puapo in the North Bay, and the Bay Mihawk in the East Bay. So, like many of the other indigenous communities, the arrival of the Spanish explorers and missionaries in the late 1700s was the first major threat to the Ohlone existence and culture as a result of forced cultural and religious assimilation, exposure to European diseases, and harsh and sanitary living conditions. So when California became part of the Union in 1850, after the Mexican-American War, the state government sanctioned the mass genocide of indigenous populations by local militia in the wake of the Gold Rush. Like, that's such a wild, like, when people think of genocide, they think of, like, the Holocaust, they think of the shit that, like, Pol Pot did. Like, there was government-sanctioned hunting of people in the United States of America. Yes, we know that through slavery. Yes, we're very aware of that when it comes to the indigenous communities. But, like, just remember, your very existence as an indigenous person was just up for grabs. Like, just, they would hunt indigenous people down like animals. I mean, it's horrible. And by 1852, there were less than 1,000 Ohlone remaining, a 90% loss in the pre-colonial era population. By the 1880s, the Bay Area Ohlone population was dramatically reduced. The latter half of the 20th century saw many different tribes from across the country coming to the Bay Area as one of the several relocation sites where the U.S. government promised and failed to deliver on training, housing, and jobs as part of the Indian Relocation Act. So, okay, first you're hunted down, then you're forced to move, and with the promises of, okay, yeah, we're going to house you and make sure that you're set up properly. And of course they didn't. It's just heartbreaking. The result of this, though, the Bay Area has since become one of the largest populations of intertribal, and this is in quotes, Indians. That's what it's called, not me saying it, in the country's people coming from communities in the Southwest Great Plains and Eastern Woodlands areas. Now, California is home to close to 200 tribes, with only 109 of them recognized by the U.S. federal government. The displacement of Native Americans from their reservations into the region led to the creation of the oldest urban Native American community center, Intertribal Friendship House, which provided a community for indigenous people to seek each other out and access social services. Intertribal Friendship continues to exist today in Oakland, in case you want to check them out. And so I talked about this a little earlier in my intro when we were talking about the workers' union and recognition of their work with indigenous people. So Indigenous Peoples Day and the takeover of Alcatraz Island. A little bit of history just to show that, yes, indigenous people are still fighting. On November 20th in 1969, a group of Native American activists, which they call themselves, quote, Indians of all tribes, end quote, and their families occupied the island of Alcatraz in the San Francisco Bay in protest of the government's historical treatment of Native people, and to reclaim and reestablish their rights to land in the Bay Area. The occupation lasted for 19 months. That is outstanding. That is a year. That's almost 2 years. Until the Nixon administration cut all power to the island. To this day, Alcatraz serves as a place of activism for Native Americans. For example, each year on Alcatraz Island, the International Indian Treaty Council, the IITC, organizes and sponsors an Indigenous Peoples Thanksgiving Sunrise Gathering, a celebration of Native American culture and activism. In October, the IITC also recognizes a gathering for Indigenous Peoples Day to commemorate Indigenous resistance and for collective healing. So that would be today. That happens closer to San Francisco. Another thing that happens each year as a continued show of force and resistance is the Emeryville Shell Mound Prayer Gathering. So for those who don't know, shell mounds were essentially like big burial sites. And unfortunately, like any other American historical moment, there was a huge shell mound in Emeryville that was just devastated. So what they do every year on Friday afternoon after Thanksgiving, hundreds of people gather to pray, remember, and educate the public about the destruction of the largest of all 425 shell mounds that once ringed the Bay Area. Once a vital ceremonial and funerary site of the Ohlone people, the corner of Ohlone Way and Shell Mound Street in Emeryville is now the Bay Street Mall. That's unhinged. So, yeah, an incredibly important burial site, ceremonial site, was destroyed for a mall that people have kind of stopped going to in general. So, extremely hurtful. But that's just kind of the overall abridged version of the indigenous people in the Bay Area, with so much more of stories to tell. But let's get into some more music. Right now we're listening to Ah Volor, which features Lido Pimienta, and we're going to listen to more of her music until our next segment. Enjoy.
Te lo entregaba, tú por fin me necesitabas y después no me tuviste en cuenta. Tú por mí nunca trabajabas, me acerqué para ser la primera. Si tú a mí nunca me querías, yo por qué tengo que darte perlas. Tú por mí nunca trabajabas, me acerqué para ser la primera. Si tú a mí nunca me querías, yo ¿por qué tengo que darte perlas? Y yo también miraba, yo adivinaba todo pues bien, también me iba bien, todo lo imaginé. Yo aquí sembré las semillas, que tú plantabas, tú sin mí nunca te hallabas, pero hoy me encuentro relajada. Lo que tú quisiste lo robaste, llegaste pero de sorpresa. Déjame, nunca me quisiste, aléjate, me da pena ajena. Lo que tú quisiste lo robaste, llegaste pero de sorpresa. Déjame, nunca me quisiste, aléjate, me da pena. Yo también miraba, yo adivinaba todo pues bien, también me iba bien, todo lo imaginé. Yo también miraba, yo adivinaba todo pues bien, también me iba bien, todo lo imaginé. Yo te quería también, con mi instrumento de lo que yo podía hacer. que no exagero cuando te digo, pero no me falles, me duele. No exagero cuando, no exagero cuando. Eso que tú
sirve. He venido solita al mar a decir adiós y no sé pa' dónde voy, pero llevo alegría en mi corazón. De amor humano, va a ser hermano, hermano. Estas olas son las aguas, son mi movimiento. Yo soy la tierra y la semilla para la familia, para mi familia. Yo soy la tierra y la semilla.
Welcome back. You're here listening to Black on Black on Black with D Fantastic. We're here every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. And that was Lida Pimienta. The song was He Venido al Mar, the long mix, which I really, really enjoyed. And again, Lido is a woman of color, a queer woman of color, who's also indigenous from Colombia. So hope you enjoyed her. Those were all her songs. And I'm continuing to feature indigenous people today because today is Indigenous Peoples Day. So for this segment, I kind of just wanted to talk about some myths around indigenous people. I think there's a lot of myths that still persist. I've been fortunate enough that I live in a community where a lot of these myths are consistently debunked in my face, like all the time. But that has not always been the case. You know, like growing up in Texas, I had little to no access to any indigenous people growing up. So I may have thought different ideas about where they lived, like where they are. And so I just kind of wanted to go over some myths and facts about that. So one of the myths, as I was referring to a minute ago, was that all indigenous people live on reservations. That is completely not true. So while reservations do exist, the majority of indigenous people in the U.S. live off reservations in cities and other areas. According to the U.S. Census, nearly 80% of indigenous people live outside of reservations, reflecting a wide diversity of lifestyles. One thing that I would like to point out is I had never met the amount of indigenous people as I had until I moved into the Bay Area. I mean, there's so many cultural moments that I got to experience where I've gotten to be surrounded by Ohlone people and other tribes. I'll never forget, I went to the very first like San Francisco Day celebration, which is hosted in Dolores Park on 4/19, I believe, April 19th. I think that's the area code. I could be wrong, but I think that's it. So it was amazing. There were tons of indigenous activists that came out to celebrate it and to say, like, this is here. It's had some really great performances. And yeah, I mean, that was kind of a big deal because this happened in 2016. So yeah, not all indigenous people live on reservations. There's so many that live outside of reservations. And they're probably among you today. Another myth is that indigenous people receive free government benefits like housing, education, and healthcare. Yeah, completely incorrect. Some federally recognized tribes, as I talked about earlier, there are like 200 some odd tribes and only 109 are recognized federally. So some of those receive services from the government as part of treaties made in exchange for the land, but these services are often underfunded. So, and again, not all Native people are eligible for these services and they do not receive blanket quote unquote free benefits. One of the other issues is that many indigenous people live in substandard housing, actually, with approximately 40% of homes on reservations considered inadequate. Overcrowding is common, and there's a severe shortage of available housing. And this is all because of decades and centuries of underfunding and limited resources for construction and complex land ownership laws that make it difficult to build new homes and contribute to the housing crisis. So even if there are people that are living on reservations, the housing there is often not adequate for them to live substantially and well. And then on top of that, they can't make a lot of changes to the existing housing or build on top of it because of all these huge federal laws. The government just fucking people left and right. Another myth is indigenous people don't pay taxes, which is wild. Indigenous people pay the same taxes as other U.S. citizens, including federal income taxes. So tribal governments themselves may not tax income earned on reservations, but these are just tribal governments, and this varies depending on the tribe and jurisdiction. So Native individuals pay state and local taxes unless they live and work on tribal land. And again, there's a whole lot of like discrepancies between that, but if they're shopping anywhere, they're paying taxes. Like that is. Another myth, indigenous people are all poor and depend on casinos for income, which is horribly inaccurate. Indigenous communities, like any other, vary widely widely in terms of economic well-being. While some tribes have successful gaming operations, only a small number of tribes operate casinos, and not all casinos are highly profitable. Many indigenous people work in diverse fields outside of gaming. So, yes, a lot of myths out there. Wanted to bust some of those before we got into our next musical segment. Indigenous people are pretty much like me and you. Reservations do exist, but 80% of indigenous people do not actually live on these reservations. So, anyways, one of my next favorite artists are the Snotty Nose Rez Kids, who I'm going to highlight, which are so dope. So, they are a First Nations hip-hop duo composed of Hyla rappers Darren Young D. Metz and Quentin Young Tribes. Nice. They are originally from Katimat Village, British Columbia. So, there we go. Like, more up north, so let's get into it. We've got Sign Nose Res Kids with the song Bougie Natives.